Advent is the season of the church year where we prepare our hearts. Not only do we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus at Christmas, but we prepare our hearts for the coming kingdom of our God, the eternal life that he's prepared for us. In this Advent season, we are going to look at the book of Isaiah and the prophecies that God has given to you and to me about the coming kingdom of our God, the kingdom that has been established through the birth of our Savior Jesus. As we look at this coming kingdom, may God fill you with all hope, joy, and peace this Advent season. This Advent season, we are working through this series called Thy Kingdom Come. It is a series that is focused on the kingdom that Jesus has brought into the world at his birth and will ultimately come to fulfillment when he ends all things, when he comes back his second time and brings the fulfillment of everything that God has promised in Scripture. What we've seen is, as we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're asking God's kingdom of hope to come and rule our hearts. The hope that we have that at the end of the world, we will be with our God and live with him in everlasting life. Last week we looked at when Thy kingdom comes, the king comes to rule our hearts. He's a king who rules with justice, with righteousness, and with harmony. He brings harmony between two groups of people that are hostile towards one another. And that's ultimately fulfilled in our God. We have harmony with God because of Jesus. Because Jesus lived and died and rose again, we have peace with God. We live in harmony with him. We don't have to look over our shoulders to wonder, is God coming after me in a bad way? We don't have to wonder if God's for us or against us. No, it's because of Jesus that we have harmony and peace with God. This is the king who rules our hearts. Today, we look out at how this kingdom brings transformation, a change. It's probably something that we don't think about very often when we consider God's kingdom coming. But if you think about it, how true is it that when one kingdom conquers another kingdom, that conquering king brings change to the conquered kingdom? We are asking the God of this world, Jesus, to come and rule our hearts. And he's bringing his kingdom to our hearts, and that means change is coming. And for many people, change is scary. For many people, change is unwelcome. But you know who welcomes change? Those who are living in sorrow. You know who welcomes change? Those who have no hope. Who welcomes change? Those who are living, feeling the gloom of this world and the oppressiveness of the gloom of this world, the bleakness of this world. Those people welcome change. In other words, people like you and me. The kingdom of our God comes to bring transformation, comes to change our lives and the lives of the people in this world. And it's a change that we eagerly await and that we want to happen. And that's because of the change that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 35. Before we jump into Isaiah 35, a reminder, Isaiah was a prophet to the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. Jerusalem is its capital, around 750 BC. Judah was God's kingdom, the kingdom that he promised to David that would always have someone from David's line on the throne. It was a kingdom that is supposed to bring in the coming Messiah, and yet their kings turned their back on God. They rejected him. God said, "Don't make a treaty with the nations of this world. I am your protector. I will guide you, I will lead you, I will provide for you." And the king said, "No thanks, I'm going to go and make a treaty with them anyways." God said, "Trust in me, believe in me, I'm your Savior God." And the king said, "No thanks." There was all these wicked kings, one after another, and so God sent Isaiah to Judah and Jerusalem to do a couple things. One, proclaim law, repent, but then also to talk about the coming hope, the coming Messiah who is to come into the world to save the world and to bring peace and to rule. And in Isaiah chapter 35, we hear of the transformation that this king is going to bring. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to start with the first four verses. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Let's stop right there. Notice the change that Isaiah sees. He sees a desert. He sees wilderness where there is no life, where there's dryness, there's no water, there's no fruit, there's no life in this area, and he sees it burst forth with complete life. Like the crocus, a plant that bursts forth with vibrant living colors, he sees life come in the bleakness and gloom of the desert. And he says, the splendor and glory of Lebanon, of Carmel, and Sharon will be given to it. A little bit about those cities. Lebanon was known for its big cedar trees. And so in the desert, the glory of Lebanon is going to be given to its big cedar trees. Carmel was known for its mighty oak trees. And Sharon was a coastal plain with luscious vegetation and blooming flowers. What Isaiah sees is this desert, this parched land, the wilderness where nothing grows, all of a sudden bursts forth with life, blooms into beautiful living colors. Something completely unnatural happens, and it's only by God. In the area and in the places where life doesn't grow, the Messiah would come and bring vibrant life. And so your first point today, what kind of change is coming? The kingdom brings a transformation from gloom to glory. Gloom to glory. Places where nothing grows, life will spring forth. Places that are gloomy will become glorious. Bleak will be splendor. Death will be life. This is the kingdom, the transformation that the kingdom of Jesus brings. And it came at his birth. This kingdom comes to bring life. And as you look, what does God tell Isaiah to do? Tell the people, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. And you will see the splendor and glory of God. Do you? Do you see the splendor and glory of our God? It's hard, isn't it? As we look around the world, it seems to be a pretty gloomy place. We don't necessarily see the glory of God. We see the bleakness. We see sorrow. We see heartbreak. We see the parched land, so to speak, where people are thirsting to be satisfied. Do we see the splendor and glory of God? Do we feel the splendor and glory of God? It's hard at this time of the year, isn't it? With everything going on, there's so much that just overwhelms us and weighs us down. And it makes us stop and think, I don't see the splendor and glory. Instead, I feel overwhelmed. We don't feel or see the splendor of glory. We feel the heartbreak of broken relationships, of loved ones not here. We don't feel and see the splendor and glory of our God. We see hatred in this world. We see unloving people in this world. Where's the splendor and glory of God? Where is the vibrant life the glory, the splendor, the life from the gloom and the bleak. We just don't see it. When will he come to save us? For Christians, we would say this is fulfilled in Jesus. And so that means that at his birth, he was supposed to bring this into the world, and yet we still don't see it today. 2,000 years later, do we see this? And it can start making us question, where is our God? You know who else did? John the Baptist. Think of John. John was Jesus' cousin. He was baptizing in the Jordan River, was pointing people's eyes to the coming Messiah, telling them to repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then that day came when he saw Jesus walking past the Jordan River. And you remember what he said? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he said, this is the one that Scripture testified about. That he's the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. And he encouraged his disciples, go, follow him. Not me, go follow him. And then John got put into prison for preaching God's word. And there he sat in a jail cell. And all of a sudden he sees the bleak and the sorrow and the death that was awaiting him. Jesus, are you the one? Because I thought you were coming to bring transformation. I thought you were coming to change the world, and yet there's still bleakness in here. I'm sitting here. I pointed people's eyes to you. Where are you? I thought you were coming to save. And so he sent disciples, followers to Jesus. Are you the one? Are you really the one? Or should we be expecting someone else? Do you remember how Jesus responded? If you turn back to Matthew chapter 11, he said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Why didn't he just say yes? Look what Isaiah wrote 750 years before Jesus. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Why doesn't Jesus just say yes? Because he says yes, but he points them to Scripture. Look, I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35. I have all the marks that Isaiah said would happen when the Messiah came into the world. I've come to change everything, and it starts right now, Jesus says. Don't fall away on account of me, because I've come to bring transformation to this world. How? Because we don't see the deaf all of a sudden talking or hearing. We don't see the mute tongue loosening and speaking. We don't see the blind opening their eyes today, do we? Or do we? Jesus came to bring a kingdom of total transformation. And yet, why is it that you and I can't stand in the glory of God? It's because of our sin. It's because sin has totally separated us from the glory of God, the splendor of our God. And here we live in the gloom and bleak of this world. And so what did Jesus do? He came at Christmas time. He left his glory and came into the gloom of our world to take our gloom, to take the bleakness, to take it all on him, the bleakness of our sin, and to go to the cross where he died for all of our sin. And from the cross, Jesus brings us the wonderful life-giving message that our sins are forgiven. The wonderful life-giving message that waters our hearts, that eternal life is ours with our God, that everything is changed, and it because of Jesus. And then what happens is that message of Jesus the message of Jesus' death and resurrection pours out into our heart. And it's like the living Word of God, the life-giving water of God, waters our dead spiritual hearts and brings us alive. He makes us alive even when we were dead in our sins. And all of a sudden, inside of us burst forth fruits of faith. All of a sudden, inside of us burst forth life where there was death. As we are connected to our Savior Jesus, He totally changes everything as He forgives our sins and gives us the hope of eternal life. You want to see the splendor and glory of God? Look at the people here. Look around you. Look at what God has done in your life. We were once spiritually dead people. Our hearts were a dry wilderness. Our hearts were a desert where no life lived, spiritually speaking. And then the Word of God touched our hearts. And what happened? God opened our eyes so that we could see. God unstopped our ears so we could hear the message of His Word. And He brought us to spiritual wholeness so that we can walk in His ways because we've been connected to our Savior Jesus, who is the life-giving Savior, who brings life where there was death, who brings glory where there was gloom, who brings splendor where there was bleakness. And that's what you and I walk in right now because we are connected to Jesus, the Savior of the world, who came to change everything. This is a kingdom that He's brought to your hearts, to my hearts. And it's a kingdom that will have its ultimate fulfillment in the end. And that's what Isaiah sees. Let's continue. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah sees not only this luscious life that comes to the desert, but he sees a highway, a straight way that leads to the Mount of God. In Isaiah's time, roads weren't straight. They were dirt roads that were windy and filled with potholes and were very dangerous. Robbers were there. Wicked people could get you around a corner. And beasts of the field could come right up, animals, and attack you. But what does he see going through the desert? A highway of God. And where does it lead? To Mount Zion. To God's holy hill. And when that day comes, what will it be like? When you enter Zion, you'll enter with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. How has Jesus changed everything? He's changed your eternal destination. He's changed where you're going, the direction you're going, where you're going. You will no longer die, but you will live as you enter Mount Zion, and it'll be filled with singing. Joy will crown your head. Gladness will overtake you, as sorrow and sighing will flee away. Have you ever been overtaken with gladness? You know that feeling where it starts in your heart and you just can't help but smile because you're so happy? That's where you're going. When you enter Mount Zion, when you see God, the glory and splendor of God for eternity, that's what's going to happen. All the sorrow and sighing of this world will go away as you see the glory and splendor of your God and you enter with rejoicing. Jesus has literally changed everything. And on that day, not only will you be changed from the inside, but everything around you will be changed. Where your circumstances change, where your bodies change, where if you are deaf, you will hear, because total transformation will happen. This is what we have to look forward to. This is a kingdom of transformation that Jesus has brought. Your last point today. The kingdom transforms the chaos in our hearts to everlasting peace. So what's this all mean for us? Yes, he's brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Yes, we have to look forward to the eternal joys of heaven when we are totally transformed. But what about now? What does this bring to you and me? How does this change you today? Look at the highway that Isaiah talks about. He talks about where it ends, but look how he talks about it right now. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. This is the highway that you're traveling right now. The path to heaven. And that path is Jesus, your Savior. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that is leading you to eternal life. And when you have Jesus, you can have peace right now in the chaos of this world. Sometimes I don't know that we, myself included, really realize just how transformational Christmas is. We celebrate Jesus born into the world. Yes. We celebrate the Savior in the world. Yes. But do we really realize just how transformational Jesus is? How can John the Baptist sit in prison and be encouraged by his disciples and have hope and gladness in his heart as he's facing death? How can the Apostle Paul, as he looks and says, everything is wasting away, but I'm renewed inwardly every day? How can you, in the sorrows that you're going through, in the heartbreaks that you experience, in the chaos of this world, have peace and everlasting joy in your hearts right now? Only because of Jesus. When you have Jesus, everything has changed. When you have Jesus, you know that you have peace with God. When you have Jesus, you know where your journey ends. When you have Jesus, you are on that path on this very moment so that no matter what happens, you end at Mount Zion in the glory and splendor of God. This is the change that Jesus has brought. The glory, the splendor of God is ours right now. The peace of God is ours today, and it will be when we enter glory. No matter what you're going through, no matter the sorrows, no matter what sighing, as Isaiah says, the sorrows and sighings, it will all go away one day. And that is only because of Jesus. Jesus changes everything. And it starts at Christmas. And we look forward to that day when the kingdom comes eternally. Because of Jesus, our lives are changed now and forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise and thank you for your grace and mercy that sent Jesus into this world. It's because of him that everything has changed. We have been brought from spiritual life to spiritual, from spiritual death to spiritual life. We no longer will die, but we will live. We will live with you forever, where everything will be changed. The world will be perfect. We'll see your glory and splendor. We'll be completely safe and protected. The chaos that is in this world will end, and we will live with gladness of heart, with joy crowning us. We will come in singing and rejoicing with all our worries gone, with all our fears stilled. When we enter your glory, it will be perfect. As we live in this world, there's still chaos in this world, and there's still fears that creep into our hearts. And yet because of you, our hearts can be at peace. Because no matter what happens today, we know that we will end on Mount Zion, where we'll see the glory and splendor of our God. We thank you for changing everything. This Christmas, let us celebrate you coming into the world as you changed everything for us today, tomorrow, and forever. We look forward to celebrating your birth. Be with us. Give us peace today and peace always. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to this message today. It's my prayer that it has changed your heart as you grew in the message of your Savior Jesus. Again, if you wouldn't mind liking and subscribing, we'd be grateful for that. God bless your day.